Dear friends, welcome to Think BRICS, your source for global South or global majority politics. Today we are reuniting with Leonid Savin, our first guest from our first online interview in 2023. Now, Leonid is joining us in person at Tsarigrad Institute, where he serves as chief analyst. Leonid, welcome to Think BRICS. We are very glad that you accepted our invitation one more time.
Yes, thank you.
Leonid heads the Fidel Castro Foundation in Moscow and brings deepest, I should say, expertise on Latin America politics. Today, we are here to discuss the major developments in the region from BRICS partnership to shifting power dynamics. So our focus today is Cuba. President Trump has recently intensified his pressure and threats against Havana, targeting regime change by the end of 2026 through blockades and, internal pressure. Leonid, what are your concerns of Cuba's future?
Like diplomat tells, I am deeply concerned about Cuba because besides many decades of blockade and sanction from the United States, now we see that situation is more dangerous because Washington very glad about successful operation in Caracas against Maduro. And they already told that next maybe will be Cuba. I think also Iran is a country target of American interests. And of course, there are much more ideas why the United States need to get Cuba. Not only because very strong socialist country, like example for many other countries in Latin America and Africa, also because of history of solidarity of Havana to African and Asian countries. And also because it's a kind of stronghold against American imperialism. And we remember Playheron. It was first victory when Yankee were destroyed by Cuban patriots. And there is a political level and economical level on Cuba. There is Mark Rubio, who is Cuban by nature. And it's mostly we talk about political, ideological reasons why United States would like to attack Cuba because they told that they hate communists and Fidelists in Cuba. And second, it's economical interest. And Cuba for now is suffered from American sanctions, but it's hold many different resources. For example, nickel. Nickel, some product of nickel mining is cobalt. And both minerals were important for metallurgy and also for kind of advanced technologies, for robototechnics, for batteries, for electric cars, etc. And so for future, it will be very interesting for United States to get it. And of course, they are also interested to get under own control and all Cuban economic system. For example, during the cooperation of Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro near the Cienfuegos was built refinery for Venezuelan oil. It's not work because problem with production in Venezuela, problem with sanctions, but it's all already exist and made useful for all regions. Idea was to use this new refinery for Caribbean countries, for ALBA, for Alliance Boliviano countries. And not only because Venezuela provided oil for neighbor countries like Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean small island countries. So there's many economical reasons why United States would like to catch Cuba. And of course, they tried to use color revolution, many attempts for last years. And this year, it's very important that...
So this, also, this year, they would like... They are sure they will succeed.
United States, yes, were interesting, but from history we know that Cuban military is very strong.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to get out country to Yankees.
To leave their country. Russia and China have pledged support for Cuba. In your opinion, what might this look like in practice?
China is less because they're afraid of sanctions, like for Russia, like for Iran, because if China comes with investment, they have some Cuba, but no huge investment. Vietnam also supporter of Cuba for many years, because during the Vietnam War, Cuba supported Vietnam. Russia, of course, but it's not enough. For my opinion, we should work more in Cuba to provide more economical, financial, and military special. Because for last years, Cuba provided ideas that we are a country that looking for the peace. We would like to work with diplomatic solutions, but now we see that it's not
working. Yeah, it's not working. Well, when we say that the country is that supporting Cuba, but one thing, it's support by voting somewhere in, I don't know, in international organizations, that's or support on paper, we can say, or support doing something. So what do you think? How can Russia do something?
I think Russia should to provide military assistance and maybe to reorganize military bases in Cuba. And I think that Cuban leadership is ready
to welcome Russia, like to reopen military bases on Cuba.
Yes, at least to do some station with Russian military staff. Because if United States will attack Cuba, they automatically will attack Russia. And Russia is nuclear power. Not necessary to provide nuclear weapon to Cuba. Maybe hypersound weapon system will be good.
Well, but the same we can say about China as well, but also China is a nuclear power. Why, in your opinion, they cannot open a military base?
China is thinking the other way, I think. They not use our military stuff abroad. Okay. They doing reorganizations, they doing to provide a much budget for reorganization of our army. They are looking for Taiwan, of course, and near chains of Iceland, and there is United States main opponent of China for future.
Of course.
To provide assistance to Cuba, I think China is not ready.
It's not ready. But economically?
Economically, maybe yes, but if we look on Central Asian countries and African countries, China just to provide some cheap loans, to build infrastructure, to build some factories, and with the idea for future that we are developing countries will get more Chinese goods.
So they build their future markets.
Yes, the future market mostly for ourselves.
Italian-Russian journalist Andrea Luciri, during his recent reportage from Venezuela, he went also to Cuba, and in his view, he said that Cuba may be vulnerable these days, not due to its weakness, but because the population no longer holds the strong ideological commitment of previous generations. That's his opinion. Do you agree with this assessment?
I am not agree, because if you look on Cuban history, for many years there was similar situation, but there was a revolution, Cuban revolution, and Fidel Castro done it in a very well way. And I think that most of Cubans are ready to defend our country. Maybe he affected of Havana, because some cluster of society, they have enough money, they are very rich, they have connection with families in the United States.
Exactly, yeah.
And there is a very different level. And so other Cubans look on them, and of course, it's not easy questions to check what percent of population will support government, what percent will not support. But there was many attempts of United States to organize color revolutions, and it was failed in Cuba. So I think, yes, there exists of a kind of strata that will not be in defense of mm-hmm. Cuba, but most of people will go.
So the spirit of Cuba Libre exists.
Yes, of course. And Havana is not representative of whole country. There is countryside, there is many other mm-hmm. cities, Matanzas, Sinfuegos, Trinidad, Santiago de Cuba.
Let's talk right now about Dondro doctrine. Who didn't speak about that in last days? So the Dondro doctrine seeks to consolidate U.S. influence across Latin America through a mix of pressure and incentives. We have seen that approach like, I don't know, carrot and stick approach. For example, Venezuela, Brazil, Nicaragua got stick approach. And Colombia, in fact, President Petro will soon meet with mm-hmm. Trump after, I don't know, months of public tensions. But meanwhile, other countries of Latin America, like Argentina or, I don't know, El Salvador, got another treatment, so-called carrot treatment. So with incentives aimed at distancing or distract those countries from China and Russia, that core BRICS members. So what do you think? How the world will unfold further? What's your analysis? Because it's not so easy, in my opinion, to distract those countries from China's influence.
Of course, China is a global player and they have good contacts with many countries. They built some infrastructure in Latin America, also in Argentina. Maybe the Javier Milei would like to push off there, but it's not possible because on regional and local level, mm-hmm. some business still active and interactive with Chinese counterpart. The same with Peru, with Chile, with other countries, especially in Central America. But of course, on a regional scale, we see kind of a right turn mm-hmm. Because after election in Chile, in Bolivia, we see that right-wing politicians come to power. They're more pro-Washington, mm-hmm. less sovereign. And with other actors like Panama, like Trinidad and Tobago, Costa Rica, Salvador, we see that there is a pool of actors that are ready to provide any assistance to the United States and to provide own soil to American bases and to do anything what Donald Trump will ask. Other countries would like not to do the same, Brazil, for example, and maybe next president in Colombia, because mm-hmm. this year will be presidential elections. And I think Colombia also will be very important actor for multipolarity in Latin America after Venezuela. Mm-hmm. In Venezuela, I think that the game is not over yet. So we'll see what happens and how neo-Chavista regime will interact with White House. And of course, we should remember about Nicaragua and Cuba as both strategic partners of Russian Federation.
So do you think the world will be divided in sphere of influence, or the multipolar model will prevail in the end?
But multipolarity, at least it tells about sphere of influence. For example, China and Russia already cooperate in many spheres and they're ready to provide our assistance and to protect our mm-hmm. interests, and not only our, but our partners, our neighboring countries. It's about responsibility. So we can share responsibility. And the problem is transatlantic relations for the moment, because they are not responsible, even in the European sort of activity. It's maybe many examples mm-hmm. In Eastern Europe, from Serbia and Kosovo, for example, till other regions. And of course, African countries, Latin American countries, we see that it's kind of irresponsibility. Both and from United States and great power and from European Union countries. It's kind of new era of relations. And we see that the Trump doctrine of Monroe is kind of mix of different positions mm-hmm. From point of international relation theory, it's kind of hyper-realism, because they attack other country. From economy, he doing kind of new type of mercantilism, and from political philosophy, he going to transmodernity. Mm-hmm. Not modernity, not postmodernity, but kind of mix. He talked about traditional values, but the same way he doing some very horrible things also in United States, inside of United States and outside, like Venezuela, for example, like Iran, because United States a year ago attacked Iran together with Israel, and situation around Iran still not resolved, and maybe there will be new conflict. So we see kind of reorganization of world political system. And anyway, Russia, China, India, mm-hmm. other actors should to find solution to answer on this challenge.
So you call this a challenge. When Trump told that here is the globe, this is our hemisphere, this is our interests here, so in your opinion, it's not a division?
He would like to do it, but let's see what happens on practical. James Monroe also thought that Western Hemisphere will be ours, and but he was really afraid, because his speech in Congress was just shortly after Verona Congress, mm-hmm. when European great powers told about how interfere in the affairs of this hemisphere. Because there was colonial regions. Mm-hmm. Till now, they're France, Netherlands, Britain, they still have own territories. And so Canada also, it's not totally under American control till now.
They still have something, something, but not everything that to decide by their own.
But situation changed because Latin American countries would like to be under American influence. Mm-hmm. So. After Monroe, after Roosevelt, Colorado, after ideas of Foster Dulles, and after Carter Doctrine, and now Doctrine of Monroe, I think that many Latin American countries really think about how to protect our sovereignty. Even those who now acting in mm-hmm. pro-Washington policy.
I see. Thank you. We, I think, breaks. In our opinion, that Russia, China, India these days are new poles of multipolarity.
Yes, of course. It's a kind of triangle, and we should to remember idea of Prime Minister Primakov, mm-hmm. who told about RIC, Russia, India, China. So we see now kind of resurgence of this idea, and on more a global scale, because India also has many interests in other regions, in Arctic, for example, without access to Arctic.
This year is the BRICS. India is the BRICS president. The chairship went to India this year, and we expect a lot of developments in this sphere, a lot of actions to develop to promote multipolarity and to bet on. And mutual benefits on multipolarity.
Yes, of course. We are about it, about mutual benefit.
Yeah. And we hope to hear from Cuba soon, because we haven't seen any reaction from Cuban officials about that Trump threats.
Just now they're doing military exercises in Cuba just to check preparedness mm-hmm. for any kind of intervention from United States. So I think they try to protect in advance our mm-hmm. interest and to show to the,
to
other
show
world,
the world that, that they are ready to react yes. or counter-react. Your final say about the future for Cuba, how would you expect to see it?
I think for the world political system, Cuba is very important. And Cuba was first during the Colomb traveling. Then was discovered as a region that we now like America Latina for the moment. Mm-hmm. Of course, Cuba was in avant-garde. And for last many years, Cuba tried to be in avant-garde of progressive mm-hmm. ideas, and despite of very bad economical situation, they always try to provide any system in different form. And for example, doctors abroad, mm-hmm. and idea to give good education mm-hmm. to other countries, even to students from United States. And in future, Cuba will be a very powerful hub of region. The problem is mainly American sanctions against Cuba.
Dear friends, that's all about Cuba for today. Follow us, subscribe to Think Bricks to get more updates on the future developments and issue on this issue. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Leonid. Thank you.